again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program 95. In a series of 260 programs dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years, the WHKP years. It follows the same format of the Great Fitzsimmons series, so we call it simply Where Fitz Left Off. And today, the only deed of its kind in the Henderson County Courthouse. When Walter Smith suggested I purchase some lots from him in Laurel Park, I was receptive to his offer. Our house then was sitting in the very middle of what is now the I-26 U.S. 64 interchange, and it would be a matter only of months until we had to move. When Walter showed me the lots, I figured they'd be great for a yard, but I needed to find the owners of the lots in front of his to make the tract useful for a home site. Walter simply said, "You pick out what you want, and I'll just cut a little dogwood tree on each lot, and if nobody sues me, I'll know I own them." In those years, there was no land mapping here, and there was no way of knowing who owned what in Laurel Park, unless somebody could tell you, and in most cases, nobody knew. But after I was able to purchase the front lots, I then purchased Walter's lots in the rest of Section A. Folks in the offices of Prince, Youngblood, and Maskey were doing the title search for me, and His Honor Ben Prince laughingly joked to me one day and says, "Don't worry about it. I have a deed on record that says, quote, any and all real estate in Laurel Park which remains unsold belongs to Walter B. Smith." I finally found that unusual deed this year in the Register of Deeds office. If you'd like to look it up, it's in Book 359, page 399. And in this deed, Attorney Arthur Shepard is named by the courts as commissioner of the estate of A.H. Smith. That's Walter's mother, by the way, Ann Hazeltine Smith. And the deed conveys to Walter 22 tracts of land in various subdivisions of the town of Laurel Park. Also interest in the minerals of the land in Mills River, known as the Old Boylston Gold Mine. Also all park areas in Laurel Park, and the abandoned canal and canal drive area, plus, and get this, quote, any and all real estate which remains unsold in the town of Laurel Park does belong to Walter B. Smith. Attorney Kenneth Youngblood explained to me that Ben Prince could be very innovative, and through this deed, Shepard was acting as an agent of the court, and while even if the deed might be fictional, it would become legal in 7 years as far as affecting the future color of title in all the land described. It worked, because five of those lots described in that title are now covered by title insurance. Walter Smith, he was married, had two daughters, but he chose to live as a free spirit. Perhaps Walter couldn't get over the fact that in World War I he was a hero, had been gassed, had advanced from private to captain, and on his return home was totally ignored while the community mourned the death of his brother, who was killed in the last 24 hours of fighting in 1918. Or maybe it was just too big a burden to be the only surviving son of his father, the great W.A. Smith, the most outstanding person in the first 100 years of Hendersonville. Whatever. Walter chose to do his own thing, and that was all that he would do. Ben Prince asked me once, "Do you know of any other man on earth who's done exactly what he wants to do and only what he wants to do?" When Walter lived in that pump house at the corner of Fifth Avenue and the drive around the lake, sometimes the stove would backfire, and he would come to town totally covered in soot. You could hardly recognize him. He didn't seem to mind. When Bob Freeman leased the old Ames Hotel and was being run by his brother-in-law, Joe Knopf, and Bob's sister, guests kept complaining of noises on the top floor that had been closed for the winter. They found the answer. Walter would sneak in the back door, stealthily climb the stairs to that cold top floor, where he had laid in a huge supply of old newspapers, which he used for cover and warmth. And every time he'd turn over, it sounded like the printing presses had just started rolling again. Walter gave me a painting which he did, which was lost, unfortunately, in our house fire. He later gave me the only copy of a hymn he wrote called Harbor of His Love. In that I can only play the black keys and don't know what they are, I've never heard Walter's song played or sung, but I still treasure that piece of sheet music. When the candy tycoon Emil Brock died here in 1947, his widow became Walter's patron saint and befriended him the rest of his life. In that he had a degree in engineering, his dream was building a superhighway from the Midwest to Charleston. He'd even laid it out on a map in the 40s, and today's I-26 follows that route almost to the letter. When Walter died, June 19, 1964, I wrote in his obituary, used here on the station, Walter B. Smith, a dreamer of dreams, from parkways to skyways, from parks to highways. The land boom of the 20s is gone. Laurel Park has closed its chapter on Jack Dempsey, and the tingling thrill of the Dummy Line Railroad will be felt no more. Laurel Park is no longer a land of dreams, because now, at the end of that colorful era of history, the dreamer is dead. What a memory of the seventh son of a seventh son, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, and with a job he's loved all of his life. A final mention about Walter on Monday, sursum corda, as we approach the next 50 years.